Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Low-income Boston residents are seeing their housing options recede. As rents rise, they get priced out, and they have few affordable options in the city. One of them is a Section 8 voucher, which pays for a portion of rent. The Section 8 program, which is now known as the Housing Choice Voucher Program, has its purpose in its new name, to give low-income people a choice of where they want to live. But in reality, there's little choice for those wanting to stay in the city. WBUR's Kainat Khan has the third story in our series on affordable housing.
Malik Gordon became a father when he was 21. His son Makari is 6 now, and in his short life, he's moved 3 times. Gordon lives with his mother, Maureen Nugent, who received a Section 8 voucher in 2012. Their experience with the program has been mixed. When they were first looking for a home, landlords would tell them the voucher didn't cover the rent that they were charging.
It was just leaving us stumped for a while, and we would have to take pretty much whatever is given. So it's like, it might not be the best neighborhood, but it's the cheapest.
As a baby, Makari lived in Upham's Corner in Dorchester. The family was able to stay there for 4 years with the Section 8 subsidy. But as Makari grew older, the Section 8 program required that he have a bedroom of his own. The rental allowance for a 3-bedroom is just under $2,200. Renters pay up to 40% of their income, and the voucher covers the rest. But Nugent had to put together additional upfront costs, like the security deposit and broker's fee.
In finding a place, a 3-bedroom, at one point, they told me I'd have $8,000 to get in.
When they did find an apartment, it wasn't in a neighborhood that the family liked. There was a fire in the building in 2018, leaving the family in a shelter. Gordon began to worry they were being priced out of Boston.
My mom works inside the city. My son goes to school inside the city. People that I care about daily are here.
I don't want to leave for the fact that I couldn't find a place.
There isn't comprehensive data about the experience of Section 8 voucher holders in Boston. But based on reports from service providers, Nugent and Gordon's experience isn't unique. For Section 8 holders seeking to live in Boston, the options are limited.
If they're going to be finding a unit in Boston, it's primarily in Dorchester, Roxbury, and Mattapan, where the units are.
Sue Knoll is the deputy director of Metro Housing, one of the largest housing service providers in the Boston area. There are many reasons a Section 8 tenant might have to move unexpectedly. One has to do with family size, as happened to Nugent and Gordon. A second has to do with rising rents. If the subsidy won't cover a rent increase, then the voucher holder has to move. They don't have much buffer from the market. A move is stressful. Now add on to that additional pressures, like the lack of a financial safety net.
They're stressed because they have to find a unit when they didn't plan on it. They're struggling because they may be connected to supports in their neighborhood. It may be convenient for them to access public transportation or to be able to access jobs, schools, medical appointments.
Before Nugent got the Section 8 voucher, she lived for 2 decades in an apartment in Roxbury, operated by a nonprofit housing organization. The rent was capped based on her income. It's where she raised her son and daughter. But she had wanted to leave the neighborhood. She worried her kids would end up victims of violence.
I just prayed and says, you know what? We got this far and nothing has happened to my kids, so we'll stick it out. Then after leaving with the Section 8, I said, oh my God, I should have stayed there. I knew almost everybody in the community and it seemed kind of tough was to give it up.
This tension, the desire for something better weighed against the desire for roots, speaks to a central debate around fair housing. A fundamental goal of federal housing policy is promoting residential integration and housing choice for low-income households. The Section 8 program aims to do this by providing low-income residents an avenue to move out of so-called areas of low opportunity. If the government helps with the rent, the household can move to otherwise unaffordable areas, areas with more safety or better schools. Often, those areas are outside of the city. But why should families have to move to access greater opportunities? David Harris works on race and justice issues at Harvard Law School's Houston Institute.
Suburban communities, or those communities that are supposed to be the targets for integration, have certain characteristics. And we think those characteristics are good. They're clean, they're open, children have good schools. And the question becomes, why it is that people have to move to the suburbs to have access to those things? Why isn't our policy designed to make sure that all communities are endowed with those characteristics, where the amenities and the benefits are all the same?
Before his position at Harvard, Harris ran the Fair Housing Center of Greater Boston. He argues mobility, moving people out of cities and into affluent suburbs, is the wrong solution. He calls it policy by lottery.
They create opportunities for some if you happen to be lucky enough or patient enough. My take on this is that we really have to redistribute opportunity rather than redistributing people, and that our emphasis on the latter is blinding us to the need to do the former.
Promoting mobility doesn't address what created the inequity in the first place. Sue Knoll remembers helping a client move from public housing in South Boston to a single-family house in a suburb north of Boston.
She called me almost daily for a period of time. That wasn't where she wanted to be, and she'd made a huge mistake, and how could I help her get her housing unit back in South Boston?
While a single-family home in a suburb might objectively look better than a public housing unit in Boston, there are intangible qualities about her life in Boston that Knoll's client missed desperately.
She felt as though her kids didn't have any friends in school. She didn't know anybody. She didn't know how to get around. So we oftentimes think that we're helping people move to better neighborhoods, that oftentimes the experience that the participant has isn't always that it's a better neighborhood for them or their children.
Knoll says some families decide moving to a more affluent area is the best opportunity, and Section 8 can make it possible. But, she says, those who want to stay should have opportunities too.
How do we support them in that neighborhood in building up the neighborhood?
Researchers have recognized the importance of having roots in a neighborhood, even in poor neighborhoods. These benefits include social networks and investment in neighbors and local businesses, that is, social capital. Gordon and Nugent did find housing in Mattapan recently and moved out of the shelter. It isn't necessarily what they would choose, but it is what they could afford. Gordon wants simple things for his son, Makari.
We like going to the park and take walks. And then go to Burger King. That's his favorite thing.
He wants to be able to establish roots in a neighborhood in Boston that has green space. He wants a neighborhood where his son can make friends with kids like him. He wants to have access to reliable public transportation so he can get to work on time. He wants to stay in a house long enough so he can make friends with his neighbors. Gordon had some of this for almost 2 decades in Roxbury. Even though the area he grew up in is described as an area of concentrated poverty, he liked living there.
It was a real neighborhood. Like, I had major friends that I have until now because of that neighborhood. It wasn't the greatest, but it was my great. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't trade it for the world.
For Harris at Harvard Law School, allowing Gordon to stay in Roxbury should be a goal of fair housing. And the remedy is to create the conditions for his and his son's life to flourish there, conditions that already exist in white, affluent suburbs.
The problem is that, as Brown versus Board of Education taught us, separate cannot be equal in the United States. We do not distribute opportunity equally, and that if, in fact, you're a person of color and you want opportunity, you need to be among whites. And that's a very difficult thing for us to think about and to acknowledge.
Those conditions didn't appear by chance, Harris says. They were created for suburban residents through government policy and denied to people of color who were relegated to urban communities with few resources and few opportunities. Harris points to data from the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. A 2015 report found a white family in Greater Boston has an average wealth of $247,500, while a black family has an average wealth of only $8.
Now, that's a structural difference. $247,500 versus $8 does not reflect different amounts of work, different amounts of effort. It reflects different amounts of opportunity and access to opportunity.
A fair housing assessment by the Metropolitan Area Planning Council found that almost all Black households in the region, even high-income Black households, are concentrated in areas of low opportunity, measured by educational, economic, and housing quality. 90% of high-income Black households still live in low-opportunity areas. Compare that to low-income white households. One-third of them live in areas of high opportunity. For Harris, the goal of fair housing should be to make urban communities, especially communities of color, whole. Make them whole from decades of disinvestment, neglect, and destruction they experienced during the war on drugs.
A just society is one in which we recognize the harms that have been done, and we think about what we can do to remedy those.
He advocates for community-based policymaking, where individuals and groups who have been historically marginalized have a seat at the table to identify problems and solutions and get the resources to achieve those solutions. And in neighborhoods like Jamaica Plain, Roxbury, and Dorchester, it's happening. That's tomorrow. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kainat Khan.